chapter 3, another familiar text. I don't know, just studying. And I wrote some note down. Sometimes I read and study, or I hear some preaching, and I make a little note in the back of my preaching notebook on a text or something to use. Sometimes I even put the day or when I want to do it, Sunday night, Sunday morning. And I wrote this down for Sunday night. So I think it's good for the first of the year as well, another one. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. And the Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again tonight and our fellowship time together. Good to have everyone that we have here tonight. I pray, Lord, now you meet with us. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, we're looking at the new year in front of us. Lord, just help us to stay focused on you. Lord, expect great things. Lord, look for great things. And Lord, I pray that we can just keep that Christmas spirit in our hearts year round, and we don't have to just wait till once a year to do that. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And thinking of keeping the Christmas spirit year round, I was thinking, David, you know what would be good if you would come over like every Monday night with a bunch of shrimp and we could have just everybody, we just do that every Monday night all year long. I mean, man, that would be, that would be good, wouldn't it? Amen. Maybe we can move it back to Sunday night. We'll have church and we'll all go to my house after that and you bring shrimp. How about that? Have to go get another job to pay for all that. Amen. Got the title of the message tonight. I thought this would be a good companion message to Sunday morning. That wasn't a plan, but just kind of moving into the new year. We see Moses. He was called by God to lead the Jews, the Israelites, out of Egyptian bondage. 40 years before this, he took it upon himself, not really called by God, but he saw... He was, of course, raised by Pharaoh, but he saw some Egyptian taskmaster beating a Jewish or a Hebrew, and same thing. And he, went and killed that guy, and he hit him in the sand, and he was ready to lead. He wanted to lead the people out of bondage then. Of course, back then, the Hebrews, they weren't even getting along amongst themselves. They were arguing amongst their own selves, And what happened to him was he failed. He wasn't able to do it. They didn't accept his leadership. He didn't lead them out. And so when he found out that they knew, somebody knew, he thought when he killed that boy that nobody saw, he fled off into the desert. Out there 40 years. 40 years went by. In the meantime, of course, he met a man out there at the well. He helped the ladies out, and then he ended up marrying one of this man's daughters, and stayed out there and watched sheep for 40 years before God called him here at the burning bush. You know, one little side point's not anything in the main points, but I got to think about this. I looked in the Bible. You ever notice how many times in the Bible when people got in a bad way, either spiritually or in fear, that they fled out into the desert? You know, I remember Jonah. You know, he didn't, after he led the Ninevites at a big revival there, he was displeased about that, and he got feeling sorry for himself, and he ran out and he set out in the desert. Elijah, he ran out into the desert, so wished he would die. Here we got Moses, you know, he fled off to the desert when he got in trouble, you know, and there's a spiritual picture there too, because I think what happens with people a lot of times, even Christian people, is when we get in, you know, when things are not going good, what we want to do, if it's not physically, it's spiritually, that a lot of times we fly off into the desert. I was thinking, you know, this morning I was talking about Jacob being, or Isaac being blind, and how you think when you were blind that you would depend more on God then than you did when you had your sight. And you would think when things are going rough for a Christian person, when there's trials in our life or things are not going well, you think that would be a time that we would draw closer to God. But I have experienced in all these years of pastoring, and I've seen a lot of folks, not everybody, but I've seen a lot of folks that they actually get into a desert place spiritually during the trial more so than beforehand. And, you know, so that's an odd little point, something to be aware of or something to think about. And so we see that there, that this is what happened to Moses. And he fled out into the desert. He did meet a man, did get married. It was out there 40 years. That's a long time. He's 80 years old by the time he sees that burning bush right there. And so God comes and he speaks to Moses out of a burning bush. God could have spoke to Moses out of a number of things, but it was a burning bush. And that's a significant point. And we're going to talk about that. Now, Moses heard God speak in an audible voice. I mean, you know, that he actually heard him speak. I've never heard God speak in an audible voice. I've felt God speak to my heart. I was confident through the Word or through direction in my life or through the Holy Spirit's presence that God spoke to me. I've never heard an audible voice. But I want you to notice another point about that. God didn't speak to Moses at that burning bush until Moses turned aside to see the burning bush. You know what I'm saying? That's not the gist of the message, but that's a good point. There was a burning bush, and I believe if Moses had said, hey, there's a burning bush, and I'm just going to keep on trucking, I don't believe God would have spoke to him. It's when you turn aside to see. Now, listen, here we got the Word of God, and we got the Church of God, and we've got the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God is working in the world. I think even among lost people, not in the same way that he's working among saved people, but I think the Holy Spirit does draw people to Christ, and he speaks to people right there. But I'm going to tell you something. He's not really going to speak to us until we turn aside to see. And I think even among saved people, listen, you can come in here and warm up that seat all you want to, but I'll tell you, if your heart's not ready for something from God, if you're not seeking something from God, I don't think God's going to speak to you. I mean, it's when you turn aside to see what God is doing. And there's still burning bushes out there today in another way. And so he spoke to him in an audible voice. It was with a burning bush. And he said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. And I didn't read all the text that I want to use tonight, but he said, this is what I want you to do. You're going to lead my people, and this is going to be a sign. You're going to serve me on this mountain when it's all said and done. And Moses should have said, man, great. Man, I wanted to do this 40 years ago, but I guess I wasn't ready spiritually, physically, whatever, wisdom, whatever. I'm great. Man, I'm ready to do it. But Moses didn't do that. He didn't say, here I am. I'm, you know, Moses, where are you? Here I am, Lord, use me. He didn't say that, no. No, he started making a bunch of excuses, and he started to argue with God. And he actually, in this chapter and in the next one, he gave five reasons why he couldn't accept the call of God, or why he didn't want to accept the call of God. And I think that's a significant thing. Because, listen, it's not like God makes a mistake. You know, I know people, and I had somebody here just not too long ago, don't want to give no names out, nothing in particular, but they asked me about a particular ministry and you know, and they want to know about, and I said, listen, yeah, you know, listen, there's going to be some requirements to do it, you know, it's going to be some requirements. Okay, well, let me think about it, and they haven't made a move yet, you know, the commitment thing, you know, commitment. I mean, you know, turning aside to see the bush, that's a commitment. They didn't want to, and so a lot of times this is it. We don't really... We resist the call of God in our life. Like God made a mistake. Listen, and I think we'll see in the lesson, when God calls you, listen, he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about when he does that. And so, you know, like I said, God called him. Moses made excuses, gave five reasons. God's people haven't changed that much over the centuries. And because we want God to do something. Boy, we'd like to see God do something, but we just don't want to see God do it through us. You know, and a lot of reasons why. Fear and fear of failure. Moses already will see that. And then also the commitment, what God might do. We don't like to be shook up out of our little routine, those type things right there. We want prayers answered, but we don't want to be part of the answer. You know, we want it to be outside of our own self. Because see, sometimes we can be the answer to our own prayer. God will use us to answer our own prayer, but we're not really interested in that taking place right there. And so like we're moving towards the new year, like I said, every year, most people I think you have a reset button. I think sometimes we reset at the first of the year subconsciously or not. Okay, it's a new year, what are we going to do? And so it's, like I said, resolutions are made and promises and those things and plans to do things differently or make change in our life. But at the same time, we don't always want to put the effort out to do that. So we'll look at the five, Moses' five excuses and see if you might be guilty of some or even all of the excuses that Moses made. So Moses calls God out of the burning bush, tells him what he wants him to do, tells he's going to use him. I mean, that would be exciting to me. I don't know about you, man. There's a bush burning, God in an audible voice. Man, I'd be ready to just charge out of there and say, let's do it. Man, let's do it. But Moses said, listen, first thing he said in verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Like, God, you don't know who I am. No, God does know. God does know who I am. You know, what he's really saying is, number one, he says, I'm just a nobody. I'm not anybody. And I think a lot of people feel like that. You know, a lot of people got all the excuses. I've seen people sit on churches. They've been in churches 20, 30, 40 years. Well, I'm just not ready. For crying out loud, you're not ready in 30 years, I'm just not capable of doing things. I don't think if you ever get to feeling like you can do it, you'll feel like you can do it without God. Really, I think you need to feel like you can't do it so you will trust God. I didn't think I was ready to pastor or preach. I didn't think I was ready to preach. But you know what? I knew God was leading me to do it, and I did it. But it had to be God. See, I didn't when it was time to be a pastor. I said, "Well, this is probably a little sooner than I thought it was going to take place." But crying out loud, I was 32 before I got saved. I mean, if God's going to use me, you better go ahead and start, right? I was kind of a little late bloomer, I guess, in Christianity. I think that's a key thing. It's good to feel. If you feel like you got it, then you're not going to trust God. And so, 40 years before that, Moses was ready. I'll do it. I'm going to lead the people out. No problem. He wasn't trusting God. But now God speaks to him, and he never had before. But now he says, you know what? I'm a nobody. I think it was false humility. I'm just nobody. I think it was false. I don't think that's what he was thinking. I think he was afraid. And I think he was afraid because he had already failed. When you fail one time, you kind of gun-shy, the rest of the way. I think it was just fear. And I think that's what a lot of people, and I think I got this later in my notes, but I always say this because I found this to be true. There's reasons people give you for things, and there's the excuses and the reasons, and seldom ever are the excuses and the reasons the same. It's always the excuses are different than the real reason. There's another reason, but if we can come up with the excuses, most of the time, the reason is we just don't want to do it, but we'll get to that in a little bit. It's a different thing. I think it's fear. Pride's at the bottom of failure. Nobody likes to fail, right? Pride is at the bottom of it. Maybe his pride was hurt. And so it kind of looks like humility, but I think in reality, it was not humility. It was fear of failure because failure hurts your pride every single time. But when you think about this, this is what I think. This is why I think that God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush. And Moses missed the whole lesson on that deal right there. Because what God was showing Moses, Moses? Here's a bush. It's nothing. What are you going to do with a bush? You can't build a house with a bush. You can't build a chair with a bush. You can't build a table. A bush really, it's got some value, I guess, some kind of animal, something. But a bush is just nothing. There was bushes everywhere. I mean, what was so spectacular about a bush? He was probably sick of looking at it. Out in the wilderness, you know, you picture the wilderness area. They out in the desert, there was the only little plant. There wasn't no forest. It was a there was just bushes. That was it. Sick of looking at bushes. It was an ordinary shrub that's not any good for nothing. I'm a nobody. Right? See, that bush could have said, hey, I'm a nobody. And really, and see, so when Moses, what drew his attention to that bush wasn't the fact that it was a bush. What drew his attention to that bush was that it was on fire, right? You getting this? You know, if you're doing any thinking at all, you getting this? See, that this is what God, if you're a nobody, that's who God wants to use. Because he don't want somebody to see you. He wants somebody to see him in you. And so what it is, God didn't want him to see the bush. The bush wasn't going to draw his attention. It was the fire. And when he saw the fire burning, he said, man, I mean, the bush was part of it. Because he said, man, this is a bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. This is very unusual. I'm going to go see that. And so when somebody, listen, God says, look, I want to use a nobody. I don't want to use somebody great because I'm not going to be glorified in that. I want to use somebody that doesn't have the ability, that's not qualified, that's not the smartest person, the weak things of the world the Bible talks about, to confound the wise of the world. He said, listen, you're perfect. If you're a nobody, you're a perfect candidate for God to use you, because then everybody's going to be going, how in the world, you know, we were up Northern Virginia. This is a good, maybe you've seen this. We were up Northern Virginia, and I was trying to show Sherry, you know, Edie, her mom's husband. It's not really her stepdaddy. Anyway, I was trying to show Bill how to use this cotton picking iPhone. I hate an iPhone. I take a thing and slam it up against the wall. I'm an Android man. It's hard to use. But anyway, I was trying to show him how to do them emoji ones with the moving things on it. And I was trying to show him one. And I pushed the button and it sent it to Kyle. Just, it was one of them hot dogs, you know, hot dog bun thing. So Kyle sends me this picture back of Jed Clampett going. And it says, what in tarnation? You know, so I think that's what we're trying, that's the response we're trying to get. You know, when somebody sees God working in us, they're going, what in tarnation? You know, they were looking at us. What in tarnation going on? Well, it's God. It's God. That's the whole thing right there. This is a great thing. When we're a nobody, we're a candidate for God to use, because if we're not a nobody, we got pride. And when we got pride, it's hard for God to work because he wants us to be humble. And when you're scared to death to get up here in the pulpit and preach to a bunch of yaps looking back at you, then you got to pray to God. You got to depend on God, right? And then they can say, well, man, it must be God, because we know that boy ain't smart enough to do this, right? Huh? That's the deal right there. So it's perfect. He wants to take something weak and worthless and make it spectacular. That's the whole point. Nobody around would have noticed that bush except for the fire. If you're a nobody, then you're a perfect candidate to be used by God. But that was his excuse. He said, I'm a nobody. And God could have said this to Solomon. I know that. I know you're a nobody. That's why I picked you. Huh? I was trying to teach you that 40 years ago. Then you watch sheep. We already learned in Christmas story, right? You're a nobody when you're watching sheep for a living. That's what he was doing. But he said, you're the one, Moses. You're the one. God already knew that. The second thing he used, this is Moses' excuse. He said, well, I don't know your name. 13, 14, chapter 3. He said, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, they shall say to me, I don't know how he knew this, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Oh, you know, and the name Jehovah, listen, this is a name that had been known for centuries. And really what Moses wanted to know was, what does your name mean, is really what he was saying. What does it mean? What kind of a God are you? You got to remember, Moses didn't have the advantage we got. We got the Word of God. We got the Holy Spirit of God. The cross is taking place. What kind of a God are you? They didn't know what we know today. What an advantage we have with what we know. And Jehovah means to become, or the self-existent one, one who always was, always is, always will be. And then God called himself I Am. He said, you tell him I am. I am. I'm everything. I used to always wonder when you'd see those signs and they would say, Jesus is the answer. You know, answer to what? everything. That's what they were saying. He's answered everything. That's why they just said that. He's answered what? Everything. And that's it. So what he's really saying is, I am. And he told Moses exactly what was happening when he returned to Egypt. Later on, I didn't read it, but he said, listen, you're going to go into Pharaoh, he's not going to listen to you. And he goes, I'm going to harden his heart, which he's hardening his own heart. But he said, and this is what's going to happen. He's not going to let him go, and then you're going to have to do. He told him all that. He knew all about it. I mean, rarely does God ever tell you how it's going to go down. This is what I want you to do. That's not that many times in the Bible. God said, this is what I want you to do, and this is what's going to happen, and this is how it's going to turn out. Man, I mean, walking by faith, he could walk by sight on that one. But he didn't. He already told him that. He said, this is what I want you to do. Now God is gracious, and God answered him there. He said, well, what do I tell him? He says, what you tell him? And he knows what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen to us as well. And so that should remove the fear of God's call on your life. If God calls you, he knows. He knows what's going to happen. Is it all going to be good? No, because there might be some bad things that will help you out in the long run, right, that you have to go through that. Well, then Moses said in chapter 4, verse 1, he said, well, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. I've had people say that. I've had people say, well, I don't even believe God called you to be a pastor. You can believe that if you want to. That people say that. But when Moses said, listen, they will not believe me, or God's already, he's talked to him in a burning bush, audible voice. Bush didn't get consumed by fire, by the way. He's talking back and forth with God. What's your name? What do I tell him? Oh, my name's, God's talking to him and all that. And then he said, well, they're not going to believe me. That ain't really what Moses was saying. What Moses is saying, he says, I don't believe you. That's really, it's not them, it's him. He's the one that's not believing. I'm thinking by now, man, I'm ready to go. We got a burning bush. Let's go. But no, Moses has got excuses. And it's really a belief problem. See, that's the whole thing. When God puts a call on our life, it's usually outside of the realm of your comfort zone. Huh? You don't need God to work in your comfort zone. You need God outside of it. And when God puts a call on you to work outside of your comfort zone, and then when we say, I'm having a panic attack. Huh? Why do you have a panic attack? Because you don't believe God. You don't believe that God has the power, that God's going to do it, that God can do anything with you. It's a belief problem every single time. Every single time. And so that was Moses. It's a faith issue. And like I said, excuses and the reasons, they never usually jive. They're never the same thing. And his excuse actually was starting to turn into disobedience. It's turning into disobedience. Because it's not always wrong to ask God a few questions. You know what I mean? Gideon would be a good example. He said, I want to be sure, God was, patient with that. That's okay. It's all right. We don't always understand everything God does. Well, God, okay, you're calling me. Just how come you call? It's not wrong to ask God some questions about things. But question after question and excuse after excuse, And God's wanting you to do it. It's disobedience now. Huh? It turns right flat out into excuses turning into disobedience. Like I said, sometimes we use fear or false humility to cover up the fact that we just don't want to do it. That's what it is. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, God, I'm just not qualified. You better get somebody else. I just don't know I don't know anything. I don't know anything. You better get somebody, That's. I would do it if I knew better. If I knew more, I would do it, really. If there was somebody better... I would do it, but I got all these excuses stacked up. No, those excuses are just covering up the fact. Let's just face it. You don't want the commitment. You don't want the effort. You don't want to, you're afraid somebody's going to reject what you got to say, so it's fear. All the above is why you don't really want to do it. That's right. How many of you ever dreamed, you older people that's been around, how many of you ever kind of dreamed about owning your own business? Anybody ever do that? Thought, well, that'd be kind of cool. Maybe you didn't have nothing specific. You just thought about it. Man, I have my own business. But most of us didn't do it, right? Because we're just afraid we wouldn't be able to do it. Huh? We're just afraid that we might fail. Afraid that, you know, it's fear. It's fear that stops you from doing it. That's it. Now some of you thinking, hey, man, maybe we ought to get that business together. Huh? And so, you know, God gave Moses three signs. He went on down there and he gave him three signs after this, and I didn't read them down there in verse 4, chapter 4, but he said this. He said, you know, Moses, what do you got in your hand? In 4, chapter, verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2, he said, what do you got in your hand? He said, I got a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, you know, a snake. Great. And Moses fled from before it. Good idea. And then the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. Now, Moses had a little bit of faith right there. How many of you going to grab a snake by the tail? Huh? Moses, he said, Lord, now he listened to him right there, didn't he? He said, take that snake by the serpent by the tail. He took it by the tail, and he caught it and turned back into a rod again. Well, man, that's cool. I wish I could do that. I come in here on Sunday morning and say, hey, y'all quit talking. Look, throw that rod down there, snake, screaming, hollering, man. Hallelujah, boy. Be like that song, old Ray Stevens, he's something about the squirrel went berserk and everybody was hollering and jumping up and down. Throw a snake down there, and then like pick it up again, there's a rod in it. Y'all be sitting there like, y'all probably listen to what I had to say, wouldn't you? All right, I'm going to throw that rod out there on you. Huh? I mean, he threw that, he did that, and he gave it. And so he took that ordinary walking stick, and this is what the thing is. When he did that, this is what he showed him. Give God what you have, God will use it. He gave God what he had, and God turned it to life. It was life, and it came to life, and so he gave God what he had. Then it says in verse 4, he said, put forth thy hand and, and the Lord said in verse 6, he said, put now thy hand into thy bosom, like in here. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow, leprosy. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. He put it in his bosom again and plucked it out again. And it was turned again as other flesh. Now, here's the thing. It said when he put the rod in, turned into a serpent, it said Moses fled. But when you got leprosy, you can't flee. You can't run from it. Leprosy was a deadly disease. It was incurable except when God intervened. It was a scary thing. Moses couldn't run from that. You know, there are things that God can put on you that you can't run from. You got to deal with it, right? You got to. And he did that. And he said, man, but that was a sign that, listen, I'm with you because I'm God and only God can take care of this. And he was like, man, you know, that was somebody get, you know, aggravates you. You turn your hand into a leprosy and go over and start touching. You know, that would get them, right? They would run. And then he went on to say there, he said in verse 9, it shall come to pass if they will not believe also these two signs. Who wouldn't believe these two signs? He said, neither hearken unto thy voice, thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it on the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry ground. You know, blood. Blood's a sign of two things. I wrote down in my notes, I said, well, blood's a sign of life, but it's also a sign of death. You know, it's life and death. And water is life in the desert. It's life in the desert. And he said, this is going to picture some spiritual life here. So there's three things. He said, Moses, listen, God is being long-suffering. God is being patient. Moses got more excuses than a Baptist. I mean, you know, man, I mean, he's laying them out there, man. Oh, I can't, you know, this, a that, a bit, a that. And he said, all right, do this, this, this. And you got a rod you can throw down. You can put your hand in and turn to lepers. You can pour water on the ground. It's going to turn into blood. He said, man, you're looking at a burning bush. In other words, what more do you want me to do? I mean, you know, I'm giving it all to you. And Moses, boy, talking about a hard head, you know, he's still got excuses. And then he gets in chapter 4, verse 10, and Moses said to the Lord, I am not an eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said to him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. You know what? We got a command. We got a promise in the New Testament about this same thing right here. He said, I'm going to put the words in your mouth, what you speak. People's talking about going out and witnessing. Oh, I just don't know what to say. Well, God said, listen, I'm going to put the words in your mouth to say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, what he was saying is send somebody else. That might be one of my points. Yeah, that's what it is. He said, I'm not a fluent speaker. That was a lie. You go in the New Testament, you'll look and see that Moses actually, he really had some speeches. They were pretty, he was raised in Pharaoh, the king's court. He went to the best schools. He knew how to talk. He was making excuses for something that actually wasn't true. And it's just magnifying the fact that I was sharing with you a minute ago. He just don't want to do it. That's what it is, but he doesn't want to say that. And you know, when if God can, and what God's saying, listen, if I can make a bush burn without it being consumed, and I can turn a rod into a snake and cause and cure leprosy, can he put the words in our mouth to say? I remember when I was a brand new Christian, never forget this, man, I didn't know nothing. I mean, I grew up and I was in a mainline denomination church. They didn't even use the term salvation. I mean, going out soul winning. I mean, they'd never heard of that in their life. I mean, they didn't. And you know, and I got saved, man. I guess that's why I struggle sometimes with people that make professions and just never get on board. I don't understand it. Man, I got saved on a Thursday night on visitation, and the pastor was going down the stairs of my house out off the porch there, and I was already right behind him like a dog chasing after a car. I was right behind him saying, man, can I join the choir? Oh, he said, yes, sir. He said, you can get in the choir. I mean, I was ready to do something. I went to Sunday morning. I went to Sunday school. I went to Sunday night. I went to our Wednesday night service started at 7:30. We got out of church at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night, and I was raising kids. Don't tell me any. We got you better now. But it can be done, right? I went to all those things, and I took my kids, and my kids are in church today. Thank God for that. But I went to all those things, and Thursday night, we went out soul winning on Thursday night visitation. Man, that's when, you know, you get down there, what are you going to do? I don't know. I didn't know nothing. This was my plan. Had my white shirt on, Independent Baptist look, haircut, tie. Had my tie on, and we go down there to church. And, you know, we had a small church. I mean, we only ran, the heyday of the church was about 80 people, and usually, you know, down less than that, 30, 40, 50 people. We'd have 18 people come out there and go out soul winning. I said, you know, this was my plan. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and go with somebody else and just sit there, right? Yeah, so that was the plan. I figured I'm going for moral support. You know, I'll be silently praying while somebody else deals with it. First time I ever went out. I know nothing. I don't know, you know, the books of the Bible. I mean, I knew, you know, a couple things, but I didn't know nothing, man. We got to these people's houses, man. We're sitting there, you know, the conversation was dragging. The next thing you know, man, I mean, I'm telling these people something. And I don't even know what I was telling. I'm talking to these people. My mouth is running. And I remember while I'm talking to them, telling them about the Lord, I'm thinking in my mind, doing two things at once. That's a miracle right there, right? I'm thinking in my mind while my mouth is running, I'm thinking, where in the world are these words coming from that's coming out of my mouth? I remember thinking that, man. I mean, I could feel the presence of God, man. I was like, yeah, man, this is great. I mean, my eyes were really big around. This is unreal, man. I mean, these words are just flowing out of there like, man, and they were looking at me like, and I'm looking at them, and I was thinking, man, God's really moving. God's real, you know, it's a real thing, right? He put the words in my mouth. I didn't know what to say. I went home. I said, man, I don't know where all that came from. It was just coming out. And all the other people from the church, I just got saved. They're all looking at me like, what in the world? What's this guy doing? They're doing nothing. I mean, listen, if God can do all these other things, it's easy for him to put the words in our mouth. Because, listen, I mean, everybody, there ain't nobody that goes to this church that don't have any trouble talking. I know you that right now. We can talk, right? Now, we a talking group. You can't shut y'all up at fellowship time. Everybody's mouth's running. Paul's up here going, you know, tapping on the mic, trying to get everybody's attention until we start singing the song. Then we say, well, I just don't know what to say. Well, say something. I mean, you know, listen, God will put the words in our mouth. We got a promise there right there. God told Moses he would do it, and we got a New Testament promise on the same thing. Here's the deal. The mistake Moses made, and the mistake me always made when we start making excuses on what we can't do, is we are looking at ourselves instead of looking at God. See, Moses kept looking at that failure. He's, man, I failed. He kept looking back at that. And we got to look at God. See, here's the thing about humility. I remember a preacher said this one time. And he said, humility is not thinking poorly of yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself at all. It's not, you know, we start thinking, and I know people, well, man, they're always down. I ain't a nobody. I'm a nothing. I can't do anything. You know, they're thinking less of themselves than they ought to. See, here's the thing. A humble servant thinks only of God's will and God's glory, not his own weakness, not his own success, or not his failure. You know, a humble servant doesn't think of those things. He's just thinking of the glory of God. This is it. God's going to get the glory for this. See, what a great thing. Where'd all them words come from? God. How'd that happen? God. You know, it had to be God. Because I don't know what to do. And so, you know, Moses was covering up his pride and his unbelief and his false humility, with false humility, all these things, excuses. He was just really, it was just a cover for all of that. And then the last excuse he had, and I read it right there in verse 13, even there, he said, in the English, it loses a little bit. He said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Well, listen, you're the one I want to send. But what Moses was saying right there, listen, somebody else can do it better than me. Somebody else can do it better. This is the Baptist mantra right here in churches. The Baptist mantra. And somebody else can do it. And he starts giving God a command. That's what he's doing. God, you know, somebody else can do it better. God already knows. That's why God's calling you. You know, Moses was calling him Lord, yet he refused to obey his commands. And if God isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And, you know, here's the thing, what I see in churches right here. There's people that there's people that like small churches and there's people that like big churches. And that's not everybody. Don't get me wrong. Don't say I'm saying that everybody goes. But there's a lot of people that like to go to a big church. You know why? Because they ain't got to do nothing. Man, they can just slide in there at 11 o'clock on Sunday, plop on the pew, listen to the preacher, slide out when it's over with. And they don't have to do nothing else, man. They don't have to do nursery. They don't have to do. They don't have to soul win. They don't have to clean a bathroom. They don't have to mow the grass. They don't have to. They don't have to do nothing. And that's what they want to do. Nothing. They just go in, go out. It's like that. And then we get in small churches like this. We want everything going on. You know, we want events. Man, we want vacation Bible school. We want our church to have vacation Bible school, and we want to have Christmas plays. And we want to do dinners, and we like to have people working in the nursery, but we always want somebody else to do it. You know, get somebody else, God. Get somebody else. Boy, I tell you, I told the people a long time ago, the sign-up sheet thing is, that don't work. Sign-up sheets just don't work. Try to get somebody to sign up for something. You might as well ask them to go to the dentist. I mean, they're just not, it doesn't work. I just tell all the people now, look, just pray about it, and somebody, God lays somebody in your heart that you think of. Go to that person and you say, you know what, I was praying and God really laid you on. Most of the time they'll do it. But if you put a sign up, see, man, they blow by that thing so fast it flies off the table out there, man. You can't even find it when you go out there to look for the thing. We want these things. And so then we make excuses. We don't want to do it. So we start saying, well, you know what, there's somebody in here that's better than me. Well, they won't do it either. There's somebody in here that's better than me. There's somebody that's more capable. And really what we're doing, we're covering up our laziness. That's it. Man, that's a good amen point right there. We're covering up our laziness. We're covering up our unbelief. We don't believe that God can empower us to do it. And we got a million excuses, man, usually revolving around how busy we are back at home. God can give you the power to get that done too. God will give you the power to get that done too if you are busy. Who isn't busy? Anybody not busy? I mean, everybody's busy, right? But God will give you the power to get it done. Yeah, He will. He'll give you the ability to do anything that He calls you to do. He's going to give you the ability to do that. The will of God, I'm almost done. The will of God will never lead you to where the power of God can't enable you. That's it. Now I know this is the other excuse. Well, I just don't know what the will of God is for my life, Well, have you asked? You don't want to know what the will of God is for your life because you're afraid that it's going to rock your boat. It's going to shake your little routine up, your little pattern. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. It's all unbelief, right? It's all unbelief because if God calls you to do it, then God will empower you to do it. It's just the same. That's just the way it is. And so we got to start trusting God. Listen, God, it was back a month or so ago maybe. You know, I preached a message about, you know, what God could do with you. Fill in the blank with everybody's name, doesn't matter how old, young. What God could do with you. Be like that burning bush. That bush is nothing. But that burning bush, that's something. What God could do with us if we gave God everything. It would be far beyond what you think. Far beyond. See, you people have been in churches for 30, 40 years. You know what you're thinking? I done been here so long. I had a couple tell me that one time. Well, we used to do all that and everything, but now we're just going to let somebody else do it. Well, what are you going to do? They think they're done. Moses was 80. 80 years old, God's using him to do something. Margie. Huh? Hey, a lot of people think they're done. No, if you're done, then God will take you out. You're not done. Old Hazel Hager was 100 and almost 107, I think, went to nursing home. I used to go see her all the time. And she said, you know, as long as I'm here on this earth, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. She witnessed them. Jamie worked down there. Said, I'm going to witness to these girls. I'm going to witness these people right down here. And she was telling me when she's 101, she thought she wasn't going to make it to 102. When she was 102, she wasn't going to make it to 103. When she was 103, she wasn't. And she kept on making. Huh? Listen, God's not, if we're here, God's not done with. Huh? And God can do more than what you think your abilities. God wants to do more than what you, because if it's just in your ability, God's not glorified in that. God wants to do above what we can do. And then all we can say is, hey, God did it. God did it. That's it. Amen. Listen.